Welcome to another episode of Meeting Pros. I'm your host, Kevin Finn, and as usual, I'm with my lovely co-host, Jessica Park. Welcome, Jessica.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. So you had your first hosting at an event experience last night. I
was alone. You weren't there.
I was playing hooky.
I was like, what am I going to do without my co-host?
So you're in there at Centennial
exciting.
Olympic Park. I heard there was a Jumbotron.
There was a Jumbotron of me and the person I was interviewing on it, and it was broadcast very loudly throughout the entire park. And then I literally had to not look at the Jumbotron because it was just a bit awkward. Because you want to look at the person you're talking to,
definitely.
And you look weird on the Jumbotron if you're looking this way. So
definitely.
It was an experience.
So how close were you to the fountain? That's my favorite part of a Centennial Olympic Park.
It was right there.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a beautiful view. We could see the Ferris wheel and all that from the booth setup, so it was very cool.
Have you got a chance to ride the Ferris wheel yet?
No. It's $14.
Really? Okay. Well, there goes my date plans.
Maybe.
Sorry to my girlfriend. She doesn't get to ride it now. So maybe she can watch me ride it.
$14. I'm going to pay for that air conditioning somehow.
Exactly. Well, as usual, you've brought some great guests in the studio with us. How about you tell me who they are?
Yeah. We have Lou Guzzo with Spectrum Entertainment. We have Jessica Williams Doris with Jessica Williams Studio, and we're going to start the show with David Samperel of Track 7 Events.
Oh, welcome, David. You win best dressed. You got the vest on, making us all look bad. The Mickey Mouse shirt DJ is awesome.
He gets points for creativity.
He gets
today.
The coolest dressed.
Does it glow in the dark? That would be over the top.
That means I get nothing.
She gets best hair.
She gets best hair.
She's got curls. She's got highlights. She's got it's
she's
epic.
Better looking than me and David. That's all you have to know.
Both the ladies are better looking than all of us. So. That's not fair. You guys don't get to be in the running for the competition, but it's just not fair.
No. Okay, fair enough.
All right, so David, tell us a little bit about your company.
Track 7 Events is a company that I started about 14 years ago as a DJ company, and it slowly evolved into a total event design experience. And so now we create event experiences for our clients, and we do about 400 events a year all up and down the Eastern Seaboard, and we really focus on creating the experience that the guests have when they walk in the room.
So how do you go about doing that? What's the process?
Well, the process is really simple. We start with a conversation with our clients, and it's a really basic question. Tell me what kind of event experience that you want to have. And most people are taken aback by that. They don't really understand the question. And they say, well, what about centerpieces, and what about lighting, and what about the decor for the room? No, let's talk about the experience. And they'll say, okay, well, I want to create a winter wonderland. Oh, great. Well, what does a winter wonderland mean to you? Well, last winter, my family and I, we went skiing, and it snowed, and we had hot chocolate, and we rode a ski lift. That's the experience, and so that's what we take to create the design for the room.
Well, I absolutely love that. If my girlfriend had asked me what experience you want for our apartment and not what centerpiece should I pick between this one and that one, we might have had a better
better conversation.
Exactly.
The crates aren't cutting it in your apartment?
No feng shui.
Tell us maybe about an event that you've done. What's the coolest event you've done?
Well, we've got two themes that are really amazing we put a lot of hard work into. One was a safari theme,
okay.
And we recreated the experience of being on a luxury safari in Africa, complete with tents, a real Jeep that we turned into a DJ booth, zebra rugs. We created huge tusks from elephants. They're not real. They're fake. And we used African drumming music in the lobby, and we really created that feel of watching the lions roar across the Serengeti at sunset. It was an amazing experience.
That's awesome. So when you were a kid, is this what you wanted to do when you grew up, or did you want to be Batman like I did, or how did this come about?
I wanted to be an oceanographer, actually.
Really?
I grew up in New England, and the ocean was what I loved, and I still love it, and I didn't know you could get paid to throw parties for a living. And in college, I started DJing in nightclubs, and it evolved into doing what I do now. And at career day, I don't recall this table being set up next to fireman and doctor, but sure enough, it's an amazing field to be in, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of hard work, but it's a lot of fun.
I can imagine. Are you getting all those requests for the Great Gatsby parties like everyone else?
Oh, fun. Yeah,
we get a lot of requests for a range of themes, and we try to be one step ahead of the trends. People want to create something unique and different, and that's really why they come to us, to say, here's an experience we want to create. How do we do it? We need your help.
I love that. So leading into that, what sets you apart to other companies? Because everyone's doing events right now. There's so many event planning companies, especially in Atlanta.
There are. They're amazing. The event business in Atlanta is fantastic. It's an amazing city to be in. Very competitive, very cooperative, very creative. What really sets us apart is that we create the event experience. A decorator will come in and make the room aesthetically pleasing, but if you're going to go skiing, you need to ride a lift. And so we have real ski lifts that you can sit on, put the restraint bar down, and it snows above you. It's not a prop.
Wow.
That's intense.
Yeah, it's not a prop. It's not a fabrication. It's not a piece of decor. It's the real thing. And same with our Jeep. It's a real Jeep that we gutted, repainted, sliced and diced, and now we reassemble it in-house. So that's what really sets our events apart is if you're going to go to Vegas, you have to have real casino tables. If you're going to go to South Beach, you need to see sand and palm trees, and we use real sand and real palm trees. So that's what makes our company unique and different compared to what a decorator would do.
How do you get these items? It's like someone, I want a ski lift. Okay, well, Bob over there, Bob the intern, I need a ski lift by next month. How do you do that?
Well, it's a good question. It's a lot of time spent on the internet by my partner. He spends time researching and hunting and finding things, Craigslist, creativity, or we fabricate things. The ski lift came from the mountain in Vermont that I personally ski at, and I made a lot of calls and said, I want to buy two ski lifts. And they said, sure, you just need a blowtorch and a truck, no problem. They were frozen into a lot of extra equipment, and we had to dig it out and put it on a truck and ship it down. And that's how we find things. You just have to dig and dig and dig. And so we do that, and we've got great staff that help put the decor together and the props together for us.
So do you have a warehouse where you store all this stuff? Or?
We do. We have an amazing warehouse in Norcross full of toys, like a lot of the other event design companies. And we always welcome clients and the public to come in and see all of our goodies.
That's what we have to do, Jessica, right there. I want to go through the magical wonderland and see what they have, all the toys.
Absolutely.
For me to play with.
Yeah. Yes, come, that sounds great.
Come see our 10-foot ruby red slippers and walk down the illuminated yellow brick road. And
I've seen those at an event before, I think.
You
I mean, I can't imagine
them.
There's more than one 10-foot long
I don't,
ruby red
I don't
slipper
think so.
In town.
Every time we move those things around, I end up with red glitter in places you should not have red glitter.
Can you get in them?
You can. Yes. You can lay in them, yes. You can. Wow. We do. And we have to put signs that say, please do not sit, because women will get in them with heels on and their heels will...
Mm. I feel like there was a mitzvah expo or something that those were showcased.
We
at.
Did. We yeah. brought them to a mitzvah yeah. expo a couple of times.
I had a whole Candyland set up for my dessert section. So
that
was
cool.
Right next Fine. To us, and I was very excited about it.
A couple of bar mitzvahs I went to didn't have cool stuff like that.
Right? Candyland?
Kids are spoiled these days.
Well, people want more. They want to have an experience beyond just the status quo, and we're able to provide them that by creating the things that we think are really cool and interesting, and then we show show them to our clients, and they're amazed by it. They don't expect to walk into a ballroom and see a pair of 10-foot ruby red slippers, and that's what we fundamentally do, is to create that for them.
So who's your ideal client that you really go after?
Our ideal client is somebody who comes in and says, I want something unique and different. Okay. I'm going to have a Wizard of Oz look and feel, but I don't want it to feel like a 4-year-old's bedroom.
Yeah.
Okay, well then let's create the Oz Wonderland for you. Mm-hmm. Let's build the Emerald City. Let's make the room glow green. Let's have an illuminated yellow brick road. And people say, you can do that? Of course you
yeah.
can. And each of those pieces, by the way, weigh about 75 pounds. And we lug them in and we set them up and people walk right across it. And it's a great time and a great experience for everyone in the room.
So you can do any kind of event, from a birthday party to a wedding to a business event. So you guys do it all.
I realize I'm shaking my head, but the audience can't see that. So yes, we create events. For us, whether it's a wedding, a bar mitzvah, a social event, a charity gala, or a corporate event, it's an event. And so we focus on creating the experience for whatever the client was wanting to create.
I love that. Has social media impacted your business positively, negatively?
Well, social media is an extremely positive asset to any business, but it's nice for us because we can post things as they're happening. We can post pictures of us glittering the ruby red slippers, and people will send us messages, don't forget to take a shower, or we can post pictures as we set up, and then people will respond. We're on the way downtown as well.
That's awesome.
So it's a really great interactive resource for us, yes.
Well, it's got to keep you on your toes, too, because people at the event right there, if they have a negative experience, or it sounds like they all have positive experiences with you, they can tell the internet, hey, guys, this is awesome, or man, I just slipped over this slipper and hurt myself.
Yeah, hopefully they won't be tripping on a 10-foot ruby red slipper. But yes, social media is a great asset to us. It's also nice when people walk in and they don't understand how it was set up or how it got in there. People don't really get, how did they get a Jeep in here? So they have to process that, and then they take out their camera. So I like watching people look at it for just a minute or two and go, wow, that's really, I don't know, but I'm taking a picture of it. That's a great feeling for us for the hard work that we put into our events.
Yeah. Definitely. So what are some of the challenges that you're seeing in the event industry?
Well, I think the challenges are competition. There's a lot of amazing companies in Atlanta that do great work.
Yeah.
I think another challenge is time. Everyone wants everything immediately, so
that's
you have
true.
To be prepared.
Much shorter time to work on the event.
Right.
Absolutely.
So you have to be prepared for last-minute changes. Mm-hmm. And you have technical challenges, small freight elevators, rain, no ramps. You have to deal with stairs. So it's things like that that you just work through, and a dedicated staff will help you get through that. Without the staff that we have, we could not do what we do. And so I can't tip my hat enough to the guys that literally work till they bleed sometimes to make our events happen.
Yeah.
I assure you that Jeep is not made out of foam core, and it's extremely heavy to lug around, especially to
you. You know, I have a vintage Jeep, so
you should call us.
Hearing that you cut it all up is mm-hmm. like, oh gosh.
Well, it wasn't working. Just no. it was in rough shape.
Yeah.
Once when we got our hands on it. So.
Yeah, cool.
So let's give a shout out to your team. And who do you hire to do this? I would think you'd have to have an array of designers. It seems like people have to have multiple different kinds of skills to work for you.
Well, we cross train all of our staff, so the come event night, all of our staff know how to set up props, they know how to rig lighting, they know how to deal with audio, they know how to lay a dance floor down. During the week, on the design end of it, that's a team that we have in our office. It starts with me. I come up with these crazy ideas for a Jeep, and then I call my office, and my partner and the team that we have there say, well, no, we're not getting a Jeep. And I, yes, we are. So figure out how to make it happen. And they do, and they deliver. And so we have a range of partners that we work with to create those props that we need or slice and dice a Jeep when it's needed.
Okay. If you and your team could do like one event, one crown jewel event, what would it be?
Well, for me personally, I would love to be part of the opening ceremonies for the Winter Olympics.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I think
you've got the ski lift.
Yeah, we've got the ski lifts, but to have a hybrid of art and design and the winter for me would be a home run.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the pinnacle event for me, would be to be part of a team to create that experience that the whole world would see.
Yeah, that awesome. Sounds amazing.
Well, David, how do our listeners reach out to you and plan their next magical event?
You can follow us online on Facebook. You can also reach us at our website, which is track7events.com. You spell out the word seven, by the way. And you can also reach us on our other social media links, which are all posted on our website.
Well, thank you so much for being on. Great
information.
Thanks for having me. How about you hang out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Love to.
All right. Well, next up on Meeting Pros, we have Jessica Williams-Doris with Jessica Williams Studio. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm glad to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you do. I absolutely love your business card, by the way. It's great.
Oh, thanks. I actually have
four different
so
ones.
So I'm not even sure which one you have. But
I got that one.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you. That is that was from an engagement shoot. I am a photographer. I specialize mostly in weddings and event photography. I do also do portraiture, but my passion lies in events. It's just that fast pace. I just really like it a lot. So that's
definitely.
What I do.
Well, the most important question from a technical standpoint, what kind of rig do you shoot on?
I'm a Canon snob.
Me too. I've got a 5D Mark II.
Yeah, I have tons of equipment. But I'm a Canon snob. You put an icon in my hand, everything's backwards. I get confused. You know, I don't really know how to use it. Or most of the time people give me point and shoot cameras. I can't figure it out. It's like, I should be able to do these things. Like I use this massive expensive equipment and can't use a point and shoot to save my life. So
they give you point and shoot. It's all blurry pictures. They're like, are you sure you do this for a living?
I'm like, is there an ISO setting on this thing? No, I don't.
So how did you get in photography?
Well, as a little girl, I was very interested in still life photography. I really liked National Geographic and all those sorts of things. And in school, you know, I told my parents I would really like to do photography. But
what'd they say about that?
There's no money in that. And I went about life believing that for a while. I got a degree from Georgia State in public policy. I've been working as a paralegal for 14 years. Slated to quit that job then go full-time photography in January, which I do work photography full-time. I've been doing two, and I just can't do two jobs anymore. But, you know, when I really started to like accept the fact that that's what I wanted to do and that was my passion and that I really had a talent and should go for it, I just set my mind to it and really absorbed like every bit of information that I could get. I wasn't scared to ask questions and figured it out, you know, and put one foot in front of the other. And I feel like in anything in life, when you just do that, everything else sort of just falls into place. Sometimes it feels like somebody's going before you and like opening the path and all you have to do is just walk down it. So for me, I just decided that I was going to do it and that's what I did.
Well, that is awesome. I always love to hear about people following their dreams.
Thanks.
So what are your favorite kind of events to do? I know you said you like the fast-paced events, but...
Weddings. I mean, I really, really enjoy weddings. They're just so pretty and emotional. And, you know, I shoot to capture emotion. I have a photojournalistic style that sort of tells the story without words. And you never know what's going to happen at a wedding. Like, you don't know whether you... You know, you can plan all day long for... the right light and the right location to do your portraits for the wedding. But you just never know what's going to happen. It could be raining. It could be too sunny. The bride could have a meltdown. The bride could not show up until 30 minutes past the ceremony time. I mean, you just don't know. And for me, it's like a big problem solving equation. And I also have like a mathematical brain, so I enjoy that thrill.
She's excellent at that. I can attest to that because I hired her for a wedding that was like really put her through her paces.
It was intense. But it was fun. Like I really enjoyed that challenge.
Right.
But yeah, that was definitely a challenge. But it turned out beautifully.
Every picture was gorgeous. The bride was completely blown away by all the pictures, and she keeps telling me, I don't know how she got so many great pictures of me.
Well, because she was just real nervous the day of.
Really nervous at your wedding?
Really nervous. Yeah. And I think she sort of got like a little bit of a shyer personality almost, so she was having to be the center of attention and
not used to that.
Right.
Yeah.
And she did fine and she listened to what I said and she kept telling me, you're the only reason why I'm not losing my mind. And I'm like, well, that's good. You know, because I enjoy being that role too. You know, when I go into a wedding, I'm not just a photographer. I kind of turn into like MacGyver, you know.
It's true.
You have to have all sorts of things that you would never normally think that you would need as a photographer, but you end up playing the role of so many different things.
Yeah.
Well, talk to that a little bit, because I know a lot of people just think that, well, you have a nice camera. If I take 2,000 shots, I can get 20, 30 good ones, right? I hear that all the time.
Maybe 20 or 30, but if you give a bride 20 or 30 images from a wedding, she's probably going to have a hissy fit on you. It's not, you know, you hear a lot of about how many people have digital cameras and how everybody thinks that they're a photographer now. But you have to be on your toes and you have to almost be like a photo ninja. Like going to shoot a wedding is honestly,
it's true.
Yeah. Zach Arias, wrote a blog once about how, going to shoot a wedding is like going to shoot war. Like you just don't know what's going to happen and you don't have time to think about, oh, I have to do this or I have to do that. And a lot of times you have to just go on instinct and it's like the camera is like an extension of your arm and you do that. But what we were talking about before about being different roles, you know, a lot of times I'll have to plan for the bride, as far as like timelines go, because I'm having to fit in what needs to be taken at what time. And so I work closely with the planners of the weddings to make sure that everything's aligned properly, that we have a significant amount of time, that way the brides don't feel rushed. I bustle dresses, you know, like things that, and it's hard because every dress is different. And I wasn't there for your dress consultation. You know, I'm trying to figure it out with you. And, that's not like on my business card. It's not like, you know, photographer/dress bustler. However, I have done those types of things.
Just fill the need.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, psychologist. Like that's add that to the list, because so many times I have to just say, I'm serious. Look me in the eyes right now and breathe, and like literally have to count down breaths. I mean, it happens almost at every single wedding. And, you know, I become like their safety net, you know, instead of like an intruder with a camera in their face. And I think that is a huge, that's a huge like plus for me to be able to be all those things.
So if you can, let us know. I'm sure you have some entertaining stories from different weddings, if you can share those on the air. Maybe not.
Okay. Let's see. I did have a bride that, like I said before, showed up 30 minutes past the ceremony time. That was intense because I thought maybe she wasn't going to show up.
Yeah.
I had a bride have too much to drink before her wedding and threw up before the pictures. but, you know, we pulled together and championed out of that, and you would have never been able to tell. I have had a bride's dress rip, like, significantly bad. Yeah, but, you know, as long as you stay calm and tell them that everything is going to be okay, and I can fix that, you know, we can fix this. That kind of, because once the ball's rolling at a wedding, you can't stop it. I had a cake fall over once, like literally as it was getting out of the van, saw it topple onto the ground. And I was like, I'm the only one that saw that. And I cannot go and tell my bride that this just happened. You know, like we have, and she's like, is everything okay down there? And you're just like, yeah, it's perfect. Everything's great. You know, and you know that it's not exactly perfect, but you just go with it. So, mm-hmm.
So any more advice for maybe people trying to break into wedding photography? It sounds dangerous. If I ever want to be a wedding photographer for this, I'm not going there. It's too much war.
My biggest piece of advice is to find somebody that you admire and look up to and go after them like nobody's business. My mentor is Andrea Taylor with Andrea Taylor Studios. Mm-hmm. What's up, Andrea? Hi, how you doing? She, you know, I was a guest at a wedding that she was at, and I called her and I said, hey, I need to ask you a question, and asked her just the most ridiculously early stage photography question ever. And she was so gracious. And the second part of that advice is to join like PPA, Professional Photographers Association. Mm-hmm. That's a great resource for us. But if you have a good mentor, they're going to tell you that anyway. So just kind of follow part one of the advice. But you know, just partner with somebody that you look up to and don't be afraid to ask questions and be willing to put in time, like free time of yours to learn, because that's like hands-on experience is invaluable. You know, and you can't go to a bride and say, I've never shot a wedding, but I would like you to give me $3,500 to shoot yours. Like, that's not how it works.
Really?
So
okay.
if you can go into, you know, a situation where you're willing to put forth the hard work and the effort, to learn your craft. I mean, that's just invaluable.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would you say to all those, all the people out there with iPhones and Instagram, and they take a couple good pictures, put on a filter, and they're like, hey, I'm a genius.
Or the ones that get in your way with their cameras while you're trying to shoot the important moments at a wedding. That's nerving.
Well, you know, we talk about this in the little circle of photographers that we're in all the time, but you know, it is frustrating. You kind of have to look at it. Well, first let me answer the Instagram part of it. I actually love people's Instagram photos.
Like, I do too.
I love seeing the way other people interpret things. You know, I love the filters. I'm all about, like, do it all day long. If I put something on my Instagram that comes out of my camera that, you know, that I'm promoting my business with, that's not going to have a filter on it. There's no need for it. I've already done the editing. But I love to see people's interpretations. And to combat, like, the fact that everybody's getting instantaneous shots of the bride, I make sure that the next day after a wedding, I will have up sneak peeks, like the next day, sometimes the night of, depending on how early the event gets over. Because I want people to see my images first, because once you see the bride in her dress, it's kind of like, okay, we're done here. You know, for people that weren't at the wedding, you know, that aren't that invested. But I love it. I think that everybody should be encouraged to continue to click their photos and put them up on Instagram. Don't miss the moment in spite of it. You know, don't be trying to post your picture to Facebook and miss the moment that the dad kisses the bride on the cheek after the dance and she's got a tear, you know. Like, don't miss the moment. Like, enjoy it. But, you know, continue to shoot all you want. For people that are in your way, Jessica, to answer your question, set expectations with your brides. Like, that's what I always say, is like, there's a possibility that you are going to have this happen. You know, Aunt Betty may jump in the middle of the aisle in your kiss with her iPad, because those things are huge. You know, like, an iPhone you can deal with, an iPad takes up like the entire space. And take that photo, and she may be in that moment. You know, set expectations. I tell people, if you're concerned about that, maybe make it to where you ask people politely not to shoot during the ceremony or not to shoot during those important moments.
Yeah.
But I don't really run into too much of a problem. If somebody's in the aisle for like a split second, they usually get out of the way. And I kind of like that shot with somebody in the aisle. It sort of tells a little bit of the story. So I kind of find like beauty in flaws. So yeah. That's how I deal with it.
That's good.
So how are you getting the word out about your company?
I'm doing a bridal show. I try to be pretty active social media wise. And network. I mean, like, I feel like obviously in the wedding industry, it's all about networking. And like I advised earlier, I always am willing to do things for other people. Like, if you need somebody to come out and take a shot of your event that you want to use for a marketing card, well, you can call me and I'm not going to say, you know, I'm going to charge you $30 for that. No, I'm going to come out and I'm going to do it because I'm building that relationship with you and we're going to work together here. And, you know, hopefully that's going to pay off for me later. I'm really big on like paying it forward. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just getting out there, talking to people, putting my face in front of people and saying, hey, I'm here and I'm not going anywhere.
Awesome. So what's next for the studio?
Well, like I said, I'm quitting my day job in January, which I'm super excited about.
Are you a little nervous, maybe?
I was. I'm not anymore. I actually was like having panic attacks, literally, about it. And then it just was like, you know, a lot of times, like I heard something on a podcast and it was that when we have anxiety, it's usually wrapped around like the viewing something in your temporal peripheral vision. So you can't see it clearly in the past or in the future. But if you meet yourself in the present, there's really nothing to be anxious about. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, like it just hit home with me. And I was like, it is going to be okay. You know, I'm good at this. I love what I do. There's no reason that I'm going to fail at it. I'm not failing at it. Clearly, if I'm able to quit mm-hmm. my job. You know, so not anymore. I'm not really nervous anymore about that.
Awesome. Well, how do our listeners reach out and contact you and hire you?
You can go visit me on my website. It's jessicawilliamsstudio.com. I'd love for you to follow me on Twitter at jwilliamsstudio. Also, you can follow me on Instagram, jwilliamsstudio. And you can find me on Facebook. I try to keep Facebook and my website portfolio a little bit different so that you're not looking at the same thing all the time.
All right.
But follow me, contact me. Let's be friends.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, last and definitely not least, we have Lou Guzzo with Spectrum Entertainment. Welcome, Lou. I didn't butcher your name. I normally butcher someone's name every show. Did I get
it? No, actually, you did.
I did? I yes. thought so.
No, it's Guzzo.
Guzzo? Okay.
Yes, with Ozo. And all there right. you go. And hi.
Hey, well, tell us a little bit about yourself, and I know you have an interesting background, and tell us about your company.
Well, myself, I've been DJing since I'm pretty much 14. My mom bought me my first 45 when I was a kid, and I just collected them. My friends realized that I had all the music in the world, and they used to invite me to parties to play music. And that was before I got paid for it, which was kind of upsetting. Anyway, when I got out of high school, I went to school for broadcasting, Center for the Media Arts and Radio, and got my first job at a rinky-dink little radio station, AM station, you know, 1160 AM. And realized that there's no money in radio. I hate to say it that
Not
way.
Not at all. We have a different business model.
So I had a girlfriend at the time said, why don't you do mobile DJing? There's a DJ company looking to hire. And I went, sure, I could do that. And since I'm 19 till now, I've been slowly but surely, well, this is back home in New York. I worked for some of the best and some of the worst companies that you could think about. And recently we've been down here since 2007, thought I'd have to give up DJing, because who wants a New York DJ in Atlanta, you know?
A lot of people, actually.
Yeah. Dude. And looked for a company to work for, and I pretty much called everyone, almost every single one, and Spectrum was the only one that gave me a call back. And Matt and Chris, the owners of Spectrum Entertainment, sat me down and said, okay, we got a job for you on Saturday. Try it out. And I said, okay, well, what about overtime? Because I'm so used to going overtime in New York. And like, psh, no one does overtime here. I did an hour and a half worth of overtime at the party, and they were like, dude, you're hired. You can come in. And I was working with them just as a DJ for like a year and a half. And they finally said, you know what, you know so much about this, because I had my own company in New York, mm-hmm. and you got to come in, you got to sell. I said, okay, my wife was a little, you know, hesitant. She was a lot hesitant. We had to back her into a corner.
Is the same girlfriend that said, you need to get out of...
No, actually, thank God, no. My wife actually has been with me for almost as long as I've been DJing, and she knows that this is a real job. We make good money at this.
Oh, yeah.
And so she said, okay, you can come in. And I started selling, and they said, Lou, you have so much knowledge. You got to teach everyone what you do. So they made me the DJ manager, and we have 15 DJs on roster. So every single week, every single month, I'm sending out emails. I'm telling guys how to become better. We're going over music, what you should and shouldn't do at weddings, how you make things easier on a photographer and a planner.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, little things that other guys might not think about are so important. And we go over those things with my guys, and it's very important. I mean, the guys that we have in on our roster can all own their own companies, but they don't. They don't want to deal with the hassles of owning a company.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. So they go, Lou, just book us. And we send out about 15 guys a weekend, pretty much on busy weekends. So that's 15 different weddings. So we're pretty much a wedding company. We do dabble in the corporate events and bar and bat mitzvahs every once in a while, but generally it's weddings. And you know, Spectrum Entertainment's been around for 20 years. Mm-hmm. We do, of course, DJs. We have a large roster of bands, so we can take care of ceremony musicians. We also have a photo booth in which we don't really own it. We work with Shutter Booth of Atlanta.
Okay.
So it's a lot easier not to own something like that, especially I have no clue how to use it. You know, imagine you're DJ at the event, you know.
Trying to take pictures.
Oh, my God, you know, the photo booth's down. What do I do? Well, I got to introduce the bride and groom. Think of that. You know, we do a lot of audiovisual. We do lighting, uplighting. We also have a casino. So we can take care of a lot of things. But 90% of our work is weddings.
Oh, definitely.
You know? And Matt and Chris have really built this company up to where we do about 1,000 events a year.
So how do you guys beat out that methodology where people are like band versus DJ for their wedding?
Honestly, I'm a DJ. A band rocks. There's nothing like live music. But the difference between a band and a DJ is that a band can only learn a certain amount of songs.
Yeah.
I don't have to learn anything. I just have to press the button and it starts. And it's the version that the bride knows. You know, and that's the most important thing, because you might have pictures. You might have it to where the vocalist might not have the best night of her life, and she might do the wrong thing with the sound. But you're always going to get the right version from Rascal Flatts. In my wish,
definitely.
You know, so.
So do you use all digital kind of equipment?
Oh, it's
all
digital.
All digital now?
I wish we can go record. God, yeah. I remember old spinning vinyl. On the record in the vinyls. It was so much more fun, but so much more difficult. And now we're getting all the guys to go exceptionally controllers, with trying to get everyone to get the control they feel the most comfortable for. I have a lot of guys who use the NS7s. I use a Denon myself and a 6000, which is a term, you know, most people have no clue what I'm talking about.
But it makes you sound really intelligent.
It does. That's a cool part.
I'm sold.
Yeah. But really, we try to make sure that the equipment gets smaller and smaller, take up less room at an event. Mm-hmm. That's more important than anything. We don't want to be the focal point sometimes at a wedding, even though we can do uplighting and everything else. It's about the bride in a white dress.
Definitely.
And the groom kissing her. I mean, how many times you got a DJ to try to get the groom to kiss the bride?
You don't really ever have to make him.
Sometimes, just to get a great shot.
No, yes, I do. Yes, they do suggest times in which it's appropriate,
and it's always perfect
for us. So you guys do a really good job.
You know, so that's what we try to do at weddings. You know, little things like that.
All right. Well, what's the simplest mistake for a new DJ when you're teaching him? He's going out into the world, into a wedding. What's the simplest mistake that they normally make?
Ready? It's a sound. Ready?
Really?
Seriously? Thinking that it's a club.
Stereotypical, like
Just like that. It's a club. It's not a club. You have to learn that.
Which
I could do it all you want, girl. I could beatbox. You know? So it's about playing music for everyone. You have to realize that there's a crowd there. A lot of guys just know their music. They're trance DJs. Well, God, that's how long I've been DJing. You know, they're dubstep DJs and this and that. And they want to get that hot beat going, that hot lick. And they stay in the beat. And they got to worry about mixing. It's not about that. It's about making everyone enjoy themselves. And also the volume. I mean, how many times have you been to an event where you're like, this is loud? You know? I'm a DJ and I go, wow, that's kind of loud. And you think about it, where you have to look around. And if Grandpa has his fingers over his ears, it's loud. We want people to have a conversation at a wedding.
Yeah.
But you still want the music to be on the dance floor and a good feeling. And that's one thing that I try to teach the DJs right away.
So do you guys make the playlist for weddings?
Oh, God,
Oh,
God, no. Sometimes we have brides that go, Lou, you do your thing. Make it happen. We just want to dance.
Is it their second or third wedding? They're used to it.
No. It's because they might have saw us at a wedding. And we've done a wedding for a bride 3 times.
Oh, wow.
Three different grooms. And the last time we had to push it down the aisle. That's the funny part. Okay, so David's laughing, man. Love it. Anyway, usually brides will give us a nice little playlist, and we'll make mixes from that playlist. Some will give us an hour, 2 hours worth of music. Some won't at all. Some will just give us, don't play Brick House. Don't play the Electric Slide.
Don't play, yeah, the chicken. The Macarena. Chicken or the Macarena.
I had a bride at the Biltmore. I was at the Biltmore 2 weekends ago, and she said, don't play the Macarena. But all of a sudden, little flower girl got in the center of the dance circle, and she's doing the Macarena. I was like,
we
gotta
have
do
to.
This.
The only person in the room.
The Maverick. A Maverick.
Yeah. And the bride was like, yeah. And I popped it on, and everyone freaked out about it. And sometimes you have to – that comes down to reading a crowd also. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to play 4 hours worth of Marilyn Manson, and I'm going to tell a groom that.
And I had any cries?
Well, yeah. I had a groom 3 weekends ago who loved 311. Got to hear 311. So you just play at the right parts of the wedding. There's certain songs you could play during dinner, certain parts you could play during cocktail, and even a last dance. You can customize the last dance to anything. It just doesn't have to be Donna Summers.
Definitely.
You know, so –
well, it seems like there's a lot of stuff other than just pressing a couple buttons and playing music. Are there any schools? I know there's clown schools. Are there DJ schools I can go to or certifications?
Well, I don't know if there – see, the best thing you could do as a young DJ is to get on with a company and learn from other guys. And I hate to say it, you have to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You won't learn until you make a mistake. And sometimes that's tragic. And you have to be open. No ego. First thing I tell every DJ that walks through my door is, ditch the ego.
There's
no way.
Too.
There's no way you've done more than I have. All right, I've done over 3,000 events in my life. You know, most of them are weddings.
A lot and you're from New York. That
and
helps,
there you
right?
go with that. Yeah. You know, I have a lot. There's a lot of great DJs all over the United States, and Atlanta has drawn them. I mean, you just look at some of
it's
the companies.
A melting pot.
Yeah, some of the companies and guys are from everywhere. It's because I think that brides have gone past the Southern traditional wedding.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so many people not from Atlanta mm-hmm. that want to come in and they want to just have a great time. And, you know, in my roster, I have Latin DJs. I have Rastafarians. I have the Southern gentlemen. I have the Pittsburgh crazy guys, Philadelphia, New York. I got them from all over the place.
I'm getting the best images in my head.
Yeah. Just and the brides can check out every single one of them on our websites. And
you have their sets listed on the website.
Well, no. See, there's no style. See, the whole thing is that there's no specific style. I could send any one of my DJs to any wedding, and just by what we work on with the planner and the music list, they can go towards that. So it's not that, you know, I have this guy who's a wild and crazy animal, and this guy who's and this guy who's more conservative. I can be conservative at a wedding if the bride wants me to be. You know, the worst style of DJ is the guy who doesn't. He doesn't shut up at an event. Sometimes you need to shut up and mm-hmm. let the music play. That's the worst style of MC. Sometimes they're on stage because they're on stage. And they
it's
forget,
all about them.
Yeah, they forget there's this pretty girl in a white dress who's been playing this for a year and a half. And,
or since she was a little girl.
Oh God, yes. And, you know, we just try to make sure we fit her dream into what we're going to do, you know?
Well, speaking of dreams, what's the coolest place you've ever DJed at or your best experience?
Honestly, being from New York, I've DJed top of the World Trade Center, uh-huh. Madison Square Garden, boat cruises that went around New York City. Those are some great places.
They are.
Oh, they're so much fun. But here in Atlanta, there's so many great and unique locations mm-hmm. that you could DJ at. And you, so many. I'm working at Vantana's this weekend. And that's
beautiful.
With the Wonder Wheel that they have there, you know, the Ferris wheel, it's going to be just a great shot. But the Biltmore is my favorite place in the world.
It is awesome.
God, I love that location. Especially when you could light it the correct way. It's such a romantic spot to mm-hmm. get married at. And that's what I love about Atlanta. Back home in New York, we had a lot of wedding halls.
Yeah, they do.
And it was about getting the bride in and getting the next one in, getting the bride in, getting the next one in. So it really wasn't – it was a hotel.
That's
almost,
just the New York pace, though.
It just seems like it. But down here, since we have a lot of great venues like Primrose Cottage and all these little places that were one time just houses, and there's a little
Sarenby
more feeling.
Farm.
Oh, yeah. Sarenby's – I love Sarenby. Yeah. I did a fabulous Jewish wedding down there. And the bride picked me because I was from New York, and I had a clue what I was talking about when it comes to a hamotzi and all the little details, and especially the right type of horror. You know, a lot of guys just play Hava Nikila, but there's so much more that you could play, and especially you just have to – everyone was from New York, so they were expecting a certain style. But again, because my roster is so diverse, we can fit that style of what that bride's used to. With that DJ.
I absolutely love that. You can tell when you know what you're talking about, definitely.
So. I pretend a lot.
You pretend?
Yes.
Pretend, fake it till you make it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So how do you deal with things that go wrong? And I've been in production my whole life and video from audio, all this, and something always goes wrong. If it can go wrong, it normally does, or someone messes up.
Well, you don't let anybody know about it. Ever. Ever. Nobody knows that there's a problem. That's why it's mobile. You have to have backup upon backup. If you have a wireless mic, you have to have a handheld microphone that's wired into the sound system. Speakers should always be powered. Just in case one goes down, you have another one to keep on going. Always have a backup on your laptop. Have a backup on these things. Don't let anybody know that anything happens. If your laptop crashes in the middle of the party, don't go, oh, my God, my laptop crashed. Get the bride and groom in the center of the dance floor. Get them to kiss and do some funny things
like
your laptop.
Right?
Yeah, beatbox. That works.
That's the only time it's appropriate.
Sometimes, yes, especially if they're from Brooklyn. You know, so you just change things so people don't know that there was a problem. Make them think that that was a part of the show. And then all of a sudden your laptop's up, you get a song going, and boom. Or if you have a backup, you can always have that just playing another song when this one crashes.
Just pop it in.
Yeah, and there's little things like that. When you have a bride who goes for a $500 DJ, there's a problem there because that guy has little to no experience. You know, the one thing that a lot of the brides and planners always say, don't skimp on your DJ. We're usually the last person you book.
Definitely.
Yeah,
and it's true.
If you go cheap.
Because they set the mood. They keep everybody dancing. The party will end much sooner.
It doesn't matter if everything looks good. If you're just like, well, this is no fun. I'm done with this.
And people have been to many of events like that. Mm-hmm. And that's what they think an event should be. David is the perfect example with his company. His company will make a great experience for the client. And that's what we try to do also without I'd love to do your events. I'd love to be a DJ at your events, dude. You know how much fun that would be?
So come.
I'll be there. It's not to get out of contract, if you know what I mean. You know, it's more of where we want to make everyone enjoy themselves and little details like that that we go over with the bride and groom well beforehand. Planner is awesome. I'm going to go over almost the same exact things as the planner's going to go over. And a lot of planners work with us because they know, ooh, Spectrum's here. I don't have to worry about it. You know, a facility's going to go, use Spectrum because we don't have to worry about the little details.
Well, maybe they don't tell the client that and then just take credit for it after.
Well, sometimes it's just showing up early.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
It's huge.
The Peachtree Club, you have to show up way early because the moment they put the tables out, you cannot get your equipment in. You have to be there before they put the tables out. And little things that we do that, you know, that
experience.
DJ who has no experience does, you know. And it's very important to me. I mean, even when it comes down to casinos, you think about casinos. Oh, that's the easiest thing in the world to do. No. You know, the dealers have to know what they're doing. All the little details that go into it. And you can get a company that, wow, it's a great price. My grandfather always said, worry about a great price. Because there's a drawback. And, you know, that's the one thing that we try not to make the brides worry about. Because once they work with us or they've seen us or they know about us, they just go, wow,
peace
thank
of mind
God.
Right there.
Thank God, you know. It just makes them so happy.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So what's the future of DJing? What's the future for Spectrum?
I hope that I've seen some really great technology out there. And the coolest thing I ever saw was this flat panel screen where you're just touching. Have you seen
I've
that,
seen
dude?
It. We talked
dude,
about
that thing
it. Yeah.
Is so, it's like $4,000.
Yeah,
I can't bring that to a wedding, but that's where it's going to go to where the DJ's just pressing and everyone can watch him literally do it.
It's like,
oh, that's awesome.
It's like a clear TV.
It is so cool, dude. I get shivers just thinking about it. It's that's the technology. It's going to go quickly, and just as quickly as the CD went out, I'm wondering what's going to be the next thing that they do. How can they go better than digital?
Put something in your head so you just like
Google glasses.
It's the Google glasses. You know, yeah, everybody has a headphone on and you actually get to dance to the music you want. Everyone's doing something different. Someone's doing the Macarena. Someone else doing like, everyone's bumping into each other. With Spectrum, we just keep on trying to stay to a point cutting edge, but while staying and knowing what a bride or that bar bat mitzvah needs and wants without putting together too much of the ego into it, taking care of our clients, taking care of the facilities that we work with, and just really having a great time doing this. Because this is like a drug, man. Nothing Definitely. Like getting people to dance. And there's not one DJ that can say that's wrong. I mean, every DJ. The reason why we do this is because people dance, and you're like, the energy that comes from the Definitely. Room is the most amazing thing in the world, especially when you get a mix and it's just like people just go, oh my God, I can't believe you just mixed that. That was incredible. You know, it's just the
like a drug.
Oh God, yeah. And I think Spectrum, we're at a point where we're very happy right now. We're probably going to hold off on changing a lot of things that we do. We might branch out. We might not. It all matters where Chris and Matt want to bring the company.
Definitely.
And that's why I like working for a larger company. I don't have to make those decisions. You know? just keep on booking, keep on making things happen, keep people happy, and they can go, we're going to do this. I go, okay, I could sell that.
All right. Well, let our listeners know how to contact you.
Well, they can check us out on Facebook, of course. We have a website, www.spectrum.com. -ent.com. Phone number 770-441-9806. We have five different guys in the office, so they can call any one of our guys and talk to them about their event. They just don't have to deal with just me. If I'm not there, they could talk to John Johnson. They could talk to Matt Osborne. They could talk to Josh Benefield. They could talk to Chris Dollar.
All right. Are you looking for any new DJs also?
Always.
All right. Well, thank you guys all for being on. Great show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. It was
and
fun.
Jessica, how's your Ventrepreneur show going?
Good. My show.
Your show. Yes. Your social media.
It's good. It's awesome. And it's growing. It's all good.
All right. Well, that is great. Well, this is Kevin Finn for Jessica Park and all our guests today and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Meeting Pros.